You're listening to Kids Cue the Music, a podcast where we talk to musicians, performers, composers, and kids like you.
We're asking the questions you've always wondered but never had the chance to ask.
And we'll listen to music to see what makes it interesting and fun.
Because music is for you.
I'm your host, Sarah Lane.
And I'm your host, Rebecca Lane, director of Upper Beaches Music School.
Let's cue the music!
Welcome to another episode of Kids Cue the Music. I am your co-host, Rebecca Lane.
And I am your other co-host, Darlene. And today we have violinist Eloise with us. Welcome, Eloise.
Hello, Zara. Hi, Rebecca. How are you doing?
We're great. It's so nice to have you here today. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
And we are going to talk to you today, Eloise, about RCM exams. So before we get into that, though, why don't you ask this, Sarah?
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your age, your grade, and how long you've been playing the violin?
Well, my name is Eloise Hoxha Dawson. I'm 11 years old. I'm in grade 5, and I've been playing the violin for 6 years since I was 5.
6 years? That's a long time, actually. I didn't realize it was that long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. You're getting to be quite the expert at the violin at this point.
Thank you.
So, like I said, we're talking to Eloise today about RCM exams. And RCM stands for the Royal Conservatory of Music, which in Canada is one of the biggest and oldest musical establishments.
Is it like an RC something else?
Or like a Royal Conservatory of Dance?
Is there?
Sort of. Yeah, there are.
RCD?
There are.
It doesn't sound nearly as good as RCM.
RCM is kind of the major one for music. So there are different grade levels for each instrument, and there is an exam that you can do for each level.
So, Eloise, can you tell us a little bit about RCM exam?
Well, in an RCM exam, basically what's happening is you are having a test on your ability to play your instrument, and it's actually nothing to stress about.
So you play different pieces and you get a test on them?
Yes. And it actually, if you get it successfully, you'll normally finish off that grade of violin. So go to the next grade.
Wow. How many exams have you done, Eloise?
I have done 3. My most recent one being actually in 2020 on my birthday, actually.
You did one this year?
January 14th. No, last year, 2020.
Of course. My goodness. You did one last year. Okay, on your birthday. That's so funny.
Yeah.
What a birthday present.
No kidding.
What exactly do you need to play for an RCM exam? So we understand there are different pieces of music that you would play. Is there anything else? Or like, how do you choose which pieces of music you're allowed to play? Can you just tell us more about what music you actually play?
Well, first of all, you don't just play pieces. You play scales and pieces.
Mm.
So you would choose the scales that you think. They have certain scales that they provide for you that you have to know.
Mm-hmm.
And you can pick 2 pieces, and those are the ones you play.
Okay. And then out of all the scales, you end up playing all of them for your exam?
Yes.
Wow. How many were there the last time?
How long does it take?
Oh, 2 questions.
I can't remember how many scales there are, but...
Like, would you say more than 10 scales?
Oh, no. It's probably closer to like 5, maybe 6.
Okay.
Not that much.
And it depends on the level. I think it increases as the levels go up. And then what was your question, Zara?
How long does the exam take?
The exam itself actually takes like 5 to 10 minutes.
Really?
It's actually really easy. Sometimes 15. But yeah, it doesn't take that long, actually.
Wow. Okay. So it's actually very short, even though you've prepared a whole bunch of music for us. So if you have to learn all of these different scales and pieces, how much in advance should you start preparing for an exam?
I would say at least a month, probably 2 months if you want to be safe.
So that's really all? I would expect it to be much longer than that.
Well, I mean, you could practice more, but I'm saying
at least.
At minimum, yeah.
Right. And for you, how long was it approximately?
I usually do it for about 3 months or so.
And then you're ready. Wow. That is also still pretty quick for the amount of pieces that you would learn, but that's great.
How much of the music needs to be memorized?
Well, I'm not actually sure, to be completely honest, but I would say I would feel much more comfortable memorizing it because then you know it, so you don't have to be reading music, which is actually a lot harder, to be honest.
Yes.
I don't even know how to read music.
Right?
I mean, I think I did once, like, but it was in, like, But it was like easy songs, and the music was very big. The Notes. Remember that book?
Yep, yep.
I think one of them was like Happy Birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I never learned that one though.
Yeah. So, I mean, reading the music actually sometimes makes it more work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because then you gotta learn how to read music, and then you gotta learn the song after.
Sort of.
Well, maybe you'd start off by, well, either you could do it by rote, or you could read the music at first. But I mean, once you get confident, you should have it memorized.
Yeah. It's interesting that, you know, this is kind of how it works for you, Eloise, that like actually learning it by memory and having it learned so well is how you do it. A lot of students that I used to teach on violin, especially at the upper grades, they would learn to read. They knew how to read music really well. And so they would learn it by the notes first and then they would memorize it later. And the memorization part was actually what took them the longest. Like that was the hardest
really?
Step. Yeah. But I think when, you know, a student is your age or in some of the lower levels, like what you did in previous years, actually just learning it from memory from the beginning might be easier. It's an interesting thing.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes it is actually. Although it's nice to know how to read the music anyways, because then you have that skill, which is actually quite helpful, because then you can just do it without really having to listen to it. So.
And in the higher grades, did you know, I don't know if you've gotten to this stage yet, but in the higher grades, you actually have to do sight reading. Have you tried that yet?
What is sight reading?
Sight reading is where they hand you a piece of music and you just have to play it without hearing it. Just read the notes and play it.
And it's a piece of music you've never seen before.
Yeah.
That you don't know. That's sight reading. It's like when you learn to read, and at first you're learning to read like words that are just pretty common. But then eventually you can read anything that anyone puts in front of you.
When I hear... Yeah. At homeschool, when I heard Thomas like saying all those like it, the stuff like that, I was like, what? Why did he have to learn that? And always when you start reading, you're just like, and it was his.
Like one word at a time.
Day.
Reading music
it's,
is very
it's like It's kind of like a robot, except like with tone and stuff. Like, because the robot's just like, blah, blah,
that's
beep.
That's a great way to put it.
A person, but it's like, but a person's like, when they first starting to read and they don't know something, they're just like, and I jumped in the air after I swam in the pool.
Yes.
Pool.
Well, I mean, this is a good point, Zara, because learning to read music is very
similar to learning how to read.
Except learning how to read a language.
You don't have to say it. You just.
But you have to play it. And sometimes it's just sometimes, like one note like, at a time at yes, first.
Sometimes.
Slow.
I think once when I was learning, you were just like, no, B, high B. You would say like the note, and I was like, what? I only technically know the strings and the notes, but I don't know like how it's written down on the music.
Yeah, we need to work a little bit on that, but you'll get there. Okay, next question.
Have you done any of them in online or all in person?
Ooh.
Well, actually, I've done three in person, and just recently, actually with my teacher, Adrian, we did, it was like kind of a faux exam, but it was just scales, so we called it a scale test.
Mm.
And that was the closest thing to an exam that I've actually had online, but, so yes, kind of.
So you've done one, usually they're called mock exams, actually, when it's like an exam, but it's not, it's like a pretend one. So you did one mock exam online, but the others you've done in person.
Yeah.
For the in-person exams, where did you do it?
Well, the Royal Conservatory of Music building it's near the ROM.
Yeah, it's downtown.
Yeah, downtown Toronto, right next door to the ROM. I can't remember what that street is called at the moment, but Bloor Street.
Oh, it's on Bloor Street.
But what's a ROM?
The ROM, the Royal Ontario Museum.
Have I ever gone there before?
You have. And right beside it is the Royal Conservatory of Music.
I don't think I have. Were there trains in there?
I don't remember. There might have been dinosaurs.
There are dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs? I don't remember
it doesn't
that.
Matter. That's not the building we're talking about.
All I remember is going to that tram place, which was outside.
That's different.
There's a tram museum.
No, we went to
another place in New York City.
No, this is different. This is different. This is in downtown Toronto, and it's the Royal Conservatory of Music building, which is beside the Royal Ontario Museum. So can you tell us a little bit about that, Eloise? Because like that's a pretty impressive building.
So it's actually, it's like an old building and it's got like I remember one of the most distinct moments actually was walking by. I don't know if it was like an octobass or something. It might have just been a large cello, but, and I was like, whoa, that's cool. And there's like pianos everywhere. And yeah, it's kind of actually a cool setup because it looks very old-fashioned-y, gargoyle-like pillars and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's a really super old building that they've built new parts onto. And yeah, when you went, there were like musicians everywhere and pretty fun. And then when you like went in to do your exam, yeah, like what kind of room was that in?
They look a bit like classrooms, to be honest. They're just, most of them though are just walls, floor, piano, maybe a chair, and that's it. Most of them.
So just like an empty room.
Yes.
Did it have like a chalkboard or a whiteboard or anything?
Yes, actually, well, one of them did, but that was actually when we were practicing for an exam. One time there was a room that did have a blackboard, but...
Was there anyone else in the room when you went in for your exam?
Yes. You have the accompanist, you have the examiner, and yeah, you have the examiner and you have your accompanist, and you.
So just those three people. Wow.
What about your parents?
No. Parents wait outside.
Not allowed.
The parents are not allowed?
Not in the room, I guess. Is that what you're saying?
Well,
yeah, they don't go in. They wait outside in the waiting room.
Are they allowed to look through the keyhole?
I suppose.
No, they're not actually, because I remember going with a student once when they were doing an exam and there was another student who wasn't mine taking their exam, like they were in the room playing their exam, and the parent of that student was like trying to hover around the door and like listen and look in. And there was someone outside in the hallway who, like, they kind of direct students to the right room and tell you where to go. Like they work at the Royal Conservatory. And that person was like, you can't stand here and listen, parent, you have to walk away. Like you can't, you know, you can't distract them in this way. So like she made the parent move so they couldn't even hear. So the parents have no idea what's happening in the room.
Well, that's unfair.
For the parents?
Well, yeah, it's their kid.
Well, when the student comes out, then they just tell their parents what happened.
Which isn't nearly as good as watching them.
Probably, but it's not the parents.
They could film it.
So, like, were you totally nervous for the exam, Eloise?
Actually, the last time I did it, I got really scared for some reason. Those butterflies in your stomach are, like, unbearable when you're sitting in the waiting room and you're just like... like hyperventilating and yeah, but it always turns out to be really fine, actually. It's like, I remember actually telling my accompanist after we were done, I was like, I was picturing a panel of like judges and like those white wigs and like the judges' suits with like those little ruffle things. And I was picturing them sitting at like a high table and like looking down on me, and then I start to play and then I like faint or something. Well, that didn't happen. It's actually just one person, usually like a nice, nice old lady who's like in a flowery dress.
Yeah. Yeah. Like another violin teacher or something. Yeah. And they just want to hear you play. So question for you then. Actually, Zara, why don't you ask this question?
What happens after the exam?
Well, after the exam, you go home, you wait. And a couple days later, you'll get your results. So it's out of 100%. So if you got 80%, that's great. If you got 40%, that's not so great. And yeah, that's what happens.
Do they just give you a number or do they say anything about how you played?
They actually send an email. So they send it to you and you have like a bit about, yeah, you have some advice, suggestions, you're great.
So they tell you like, this went really well. Yeah. I really liked how you did this. This you can improve on. And I recommend that you work on this part.
Yeah. They're really okay. Nice.
But if the exam's already over, how can you still work on it if you're not going to have an exam? Unless you have an exam on the same song as you did before, which will probably be way easier than the first one.
That's a good point. Do they tell you things that are specific to the pieces you play or things that are just in general about your playing? Like, I think that you could hold your bow differently or something.
Most of them are general, but like there might be like one comment about like, oh, if you're playing a piece that's like really legato and sad and it's piano and it's like, they might be like, okay, that was too staccato or like for things specific to that piece. Like if the dynamic for that is like pianissimo and they're like, okay, you played it at mezzo forte. And
right. What is piano and mezzo forte?
I know what piano is, but I don't know what. I don't even know how to say it.
Mezzo forte. Do you know what mezzo forte is, Eloise?
Mezzo forte actually means medium loud.
I can make out the medium part.
Forte is the loud part.
Yeah. Forte is loud. Mezzo forte is medium loud. Kind of like how mezzo piano is medium quiet. So there are six common dynamics for instruments, and they are pianissimo, mezzo piano, piano, forte, mezzo forte, and fortissimo. Fortissimo is like super, super loud, and pianissimo is like super, super quiet.
And so when you play those dynamics in your pieces for your exams, you're doing it because the music told you to play a certain dynamic level. And then the examiner will say, nice job on that pianissimo. It was super quiet. Or your pianissimo actually sounded like a mezzo forte. You need to work on playing more quietly. Got it. Okay. Super fun. So you're saying it's not actually like you did get nervous, but it isn't actually as big a deal as it sounds.
No, it's actually really easy. You just go in, you do it, you go back, you get your mark, and it's over.
Wow. Amazing. Everyone should do exams then. Why not?
Yeah, they're fun. They're easy. Well, depending on the pieces you're playing, but and it's kind of fun just like practicing and going to this place, and it's kind of cool to like. Plus, it gives you a trip to downtown Toronto, which is always fun. So,
which is always fun. And actually, people in other cities and other countries can do them too. Just that they don't go to downtown Toronto to do them. They go to other places.
Yeah.
So we actually have an old recording of you playing one of your exam pieces from a few years ago. Can't remember. You sent us two.
We chose one.
And we chose one. So let's listen to it. And then maybe
is that the right one?
This is the right one. Yeah. And then maybe you can tell us about it after we've heard it. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's totally fine.
Okay. So here it is.
This was a piece that I actually played when I was a little girl. It's called Pipe and Tabor, and it's a fun piece because it's forte, it's staccato, and it's got those fun notes, and it sounds kind of like, I don't know, it sounds like some kind of thing that, it kind of sounds like a sea shanty to me, but...
a sea what?
A sea shanty.
It's like a seaside song in a ship that you play when you're at sea.
So, yeah.
Probably like a guy strolling on the beach. Wearing a sailor's hat and then sailing off.
Yeah, like that.
Pretty much.
Do you know what grade level that was?
Oh, gosh. It might have been RCM 2.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I think so.
Cool.
So I was little.
Yeah. No, that's okay. That was a few years ago. Okay, we have one thing left to do before we stop today, and that is to play a few rounds of... Pasta or Composer.
I love Song You're Crazy.
Have you played this game before, Eloise?
Never.
So this is a game where my mom says an Italian word to me, have to try to guess if it's the name of a pasta or the name of a composer.
That sounds really fun.
It is super fun. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. The first word is Agnolotti. Agnolotti. A-G-N-O-L-O-T-T-I.
I'm only going to go with the name of it, which I did last time for Mary something.
What do you think?
I think it is actually a pasta, because are there ever eggs in pasta?
It's not spelled like eggs that you eat. So I don't know if that makes... What do you think, Eloise?
I'm going to say composer.
Composer. Agnolotti, composer. Zara, what do you think? Final answer. Agnolotti.
That's hard.
Agnolotti.
I think it's a composer.
You both think it's a composer.
I'm
sorry. It is actually a pasta.
Oh, man. Oh, I would have been right. I mean, I actually was right the first time.
Okay. Here's a good one.
There's 0 points.
You might know this one. This is a common one.
Pasta? Is it Kraft
dinner? Well, I'm not going to tell you. It's not Kraft dinner. This is fettuccine.
That is a pasta.
Ah. Pasta. You were correct. Good. Okay. So that was a common enough one that you both knew it.
I don't know it, but I was just like,
Last one. Scarlatti.
Scarlatti. I don't want a composer with scars on it. And I don't want pasta with scars on
Scarlatti.
It.
Scarlatti. Scarlatti. What do you think, Eloise?
Want to have pasta with
I'm going to say pasta.
Okay. What do you think, Sarah? Scarlatti.
Maybe just pasta.
We both say pasta? It is actually a composer. Alessandro Scarlatti. He lived from 1660 to 1725.
Okay, I'm going to steal a little paint.
Yeah, he looks a little bit like Bach. He has like a big white beard, white wig. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being with us here today, Eloise. This was a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for sharing your experience about RCM exams. And it was a pleasure to hear you play one of your pieces.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful day and we'll see you soon.
Bye.
Have a great day.
See you next.
Bye.
See you next time on Kids Cue the Music. Music.
Listening to Kids Cue the Music.
If you've enjoyed this episode, leave us a review. Your ratings and reviews help more people like you find our podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and share this episode with other kids you think would love it.
I'm Zora Lane.
And I'm Rebecca Lane. Talk to you next time on
Kids Cue the Music.